we present June Whitfield as Miss Marple in Agatha Christie's A Murder is Announced.
I always find the personal column of a local paper completely irresistible. The frenzied appeals for domestic help, gentlemen who are looking for adventurous commissions abroad, anything considered. And so it was with great interest that while reading through the Chipping Cleghorn Gazette, I noticed among the cocker spaniels for sale and the reconditioned motor mowers and the ancient Daimlers the following notice. A murder is announced and will take place on Friday, October the 29th, at Little Paddock's at 6:30 p.m. Friends, please accept this, the only intimation.
Murder game. That's it. Bound to be.
A murder game?
Yeah, it can be quite good fun. You draw lots. One person's the murderer. Well, nobody knows who, is it? And then lights out. Murderer chooses his victim, who has to count to 20 before he or she screams. And then the person who's chosen to be the detective takes charge. Questions everybody about where they were, what they were doing, tries to catch them out. It's a great game if the chap who's playing the detective knows a bit about the way of police work.
Well, like you, Archie. All those cases you used to hear when you were in Simla.
Yes. I dare say I could give them a hint or two.
Miss Blacklock ought to have asked your advice in setting the thing up.
Yeah. Well, she's got that young nephew of hers staying with her.
Patrick Simmons.
Yeah. I expect it was his idea, you know. Funny way to do it, isn't it? Advertising it in the paper. Rather vulgar, don't you think? Well, they can rule me out.
Oh, Archie, I do think you really ought to go, just to help poor Miss Blacklock out. The whole thing would just fall flat if you don't go along and make it a success.
Well, if you put it like that, Laura...
I really do think that it's your duty, Archie.
Hitch! Where are you?
Hen house, Murgatroyd.
Just take a look at this, Hinch. In the Gazette.
Daft, if you ask me, Murgatroyd.
Well, yes, but what do you think it means?
A drink. That's what it means.
Oh, you think it's some sort of invitation?
We'll find out when we get there. Best we can hope for is a glass of bad sherry, I expect. You'd better get off the grass, Murgatroyd. You've still got your bedroom slippers on. They'll be soaked through.
Oh dear. So they are. How many eggs today?
7. That damn hen's still broody. I must get her into the coop. Why don't we keep ducks like Miss Blacklock? Far more reliable.
A murder is announced. It's a funny way to put it, don't you think?
Probably all cooked up by Patrick and Julia. Where's that damned hen got to? Come here, you brute!
A murder? When?
This evening, 6:30, at Little Paddock's. But you won't be able to go, darling. You've got all those brats to prepare for confirmation. Oh, it is a shame. And you do so love murders.
I haven't got the faintest idea what you're talking about, Bunch. And I do wish you wouldn't call them brats.
Well, that's what they are. But you'd better read it for yourself. There, among the second-hand pianos and the old teeth.
What an extraordinary announcement. Not like Miss Blacklock at all. And it can hardly be that woman who lives with her.
Dora Bunner? Mm. She's far too muddle-headed to plan a lunch, let alone a murder. No, it can't be her idea. It's probably Patrick and Julia Simmons. Anyway, I'll go and I'll tell you all about it. The game will be wasted on me, though, because I really don't like nasty surprises happening in the dark. I hope I shan't have to be the one who's murdered. I wouldn't care for that at all.
You're such a frightened little child, aren't you, Bunch?
I know I'm stupid.
You're not stupid at all, darling.
Well, I'm not an intellectual like you. But I do like it when you talk to me about books and history and things. Tell me that story again about the old vicar who preached about Ahasuerus.
Oh, but you know that by heart.
Oh, just tell it again, please.
Oh, very well. It was old Scrimgeour when he was at St. Osmond's. He was leaning out of the pulpit and preaching fervently to a couple of old charwomen. He was shaking his fists at them and saying, "Aha, I know what you're thinking. You think that the great Ahasuerus in the first lesson was Artaxerxes the second. But he wasn't. And then, with enormous triumph, he was at Xerxes III.
I do love that story. I think you'll be exactly like that someday, Julian. At Xerxes III. Oh.
By the middle of the morning, everybody in Chipping Cleghorn had read the advertisement and decided that they simply must call in at 6:30 to find out what it was all about. But no one was more mystified than the inhabitants of Little Paddocks themselves.
But whatever can it mean, Letty? A murder is announced, and it says Little Paddocks quite distinctly. Mm.
Patrick, is this one of your silly jokes?
Of course it isn't, Aunt Letty. What on earth gave you that idea?
I wouldn't put it past you. Was it Julia, then?
I wouldn't have thought so. She doesn't go in for jokes much.
You don't think that possibly Mrs. Hayes...
Philippa? I don't think she tried to be funny either. She's a serious girl, is our Philippa.
But why? What's the point of it, Letty? I don't like it at all.
Now, Dora, don't get yourself all worked up about it. It's just somebody's nasty, twisted sense of humour, that's all. But I wish I knew whose.
If it is a joke, it's a very spiteful one. It frightens me. And it's frightened you, Letty.
No, nonsense. It's just some silly idiot trying to be funny.
But it says today. Today at 6:30 p.m. What do you think's going to happen?
I can tell you what'll happen, Dora. We'll have half the village up here simply agog with curiosity. I'd better make sure we have some sherry in the house.
I'll take a look, Aunt Letty. Oh, Lord.
Miss Blacklock, I have to speak with you.
Yes, Mitzi, what is it?
Oh, I am come to give you my notices. I go at once.
But why, Mitzi, what's the matter? Someone upset you?
I do not wish to die. I come to England because I think I would be safe here. And now they are coming to kill me.
What on earth are you talking about, Mitzi?
It is in the newspaper. See here. It says a murder here at 6:30. I do not wait to be murdered.
But it doesn't apply to you, Mitzi. We all think it's a joke.
A joke? It is not a joke to murder someone.
No, of course not. But, my dear child, if anyone wanted to murder you, they would hardly advertise the fact in the paper, would they?
You do not think they would? Then who is it that they plan to murder? Perhaps it is you, Miss Blacklock.
Oh, I really cannot believe anyone wants to murder me, and I am certain no one intends to murder you. Now, perhaps you could start to make some cheese straws from that hard bit of cheese we've got left. I think that people will probably be turning up here this evening for drinks.
This evening? But who should come here?
Almost everyone who's read the announcement.
I've had a look in the pantry, Aunt Letty. There's only about half a bottle of sherry left.
Oh, well, I should think that ought to do. Oh, well, no. Not if Miss Hinchcliffe and Miss Murgatroyd take it into their heads to drop in. Now, Julia said she was going down to the shop. Ask her if she'd mind getting another bottle of sherry. There's nothing like being prepared for the worst.
Right, we've got olives and cheese straws and Mitzi's delicious little pastries.
Do stop eating them, Patrick. There won't be any left. Now, what I think we ought to do is to move the table round the corner into the bay window. Now, would you give me a hand?
Of course, Aunt Letty. Here we go.
After all, I'm not really giving a party. I haven't invited anybody and I don't intend to make it obvious that I expect people to turn up. There. Yes, that should be sufficiently inconspicuous.
You wish to disguise your intelligent anticipation.
Very nicely put, Patrick.
And I shall do my best to look sufficiently surprised when people just happen to drop in.
Letty, dear, isn't it time to shut up the ducks? It's getting dark.
No, I'll see to it.
Oh, no, you won't. Last time you didn't lock the door properly and two of them got out.
Why don't I go, Letty? I'll just put my galoshes on. Now, where's my cardigan?
It's no good, Dora. She's gone. Aunt Letty's so efficient, she can never bear anybody else to do things for her. It's much better to let her just get on with it.
Two large bowls of late bronze chrysanthemums were set out on a corner table, and there was a small vase of violets. The new bottle of sherry was opened, the silver cigarette box was filled up, and the central heating was turned on. The inhabitants of Little Paddocks did their best to prepare for whatever fate had in store for them, while their neighbours made their way towards the house, looking forward to some kind of clever game that would enliven their rather dull lives. In the austerity of the post-war years, entertainment was in very short supply, particularly if you lived in a country village. Of course, none of the visitors who arrived on that grey October evening was willing to admit that it was the newspaper advertisement that had brought them there.
I hope you don't mind us dropping in, Miss Blacklock. Just happened to be passing this way.
I'm delighted.
Your chrysanthemum, simply lovely.
A glass of sherry, Mrs. Easterbrook.
Oh, how nice. Thank you.
Yes, it's kind. Thank you.
Here are the ladies from Boulders.
Evening, Letty. Thought we'd drop in. I wanted to ask how your ducks are laying.
Oh, they're perfectly fine, Miss Hinchley, thank you. Though sometimes I think they are rather more troubled than they were.
The evenings are drawing in, rather, aren't they?
I see you've got the central heating on already.
You haven't got a fire, though. I mean, don't you normally have a fire this time of year?
I think the chrysanthemums are simply lovely.
The vicar's lady, Mrs. Halmon.
Hello, Miss Blacklock. I'm not too late, am I?
No, of course not.
When does the murder begin? Julian is just frantic that he can't be here. He adores murders.
Do have a glass of sherry, Mrs. Halmon.
Well, if it's going to begin, it ought to begin soon. Oh. It's coming up to the half hour.
If? What do you mean, if, Miss Blacklock?
Well, I'm as much in the dark as you are. I've no idea what...
It's beginning.
Oh, who turned the lights out? I don't like it.
Archie, where are you?
Just here, my dear. There's nothing to worry about.
Stick them up! Stick them up, I tell you!
I wish he wouldn't shine that torch about. I can't see.
What's he looking for?
Letty!
Look, it's just a game, Laura. Nothing to worry about.
What happened? Oh, turn the lights on, please. Can't somebody find the switch?
Were those shots real?
Archie, I want to get out of here.
Or was it a burglar, do you think?
I say, has anybody got a lighter?
Yes, here we are.
Where's the light switch?
It's over here. It must be off at the mains, or there's been a fuse.
Who's making that frightful row?
It's Mitzi. Somebody's murdering Mitzi.
No such luck.
But it sounds as if somebody's locked her in.
She must be in the dining room.
I'll see if I can let her out.
Patrick, do you know where the fuse box is?
In the passage behind the scullery.
Right, can you find your way there?
No, I've got a light.
Oh, for goodness sake, pull yourself together, girl.
I found the dining room candles. Has anyone got a light?
Here we are. Hold them steady, Bunch.
That's a bit better. Now we can see what we're doing.
The blood! The blood! Miss Blacklock, you are shot! You bleed to death!
No, don't be stupid, Mitzi. I'm hardly hurt at all. The bullet just grazed my ear.
There's blood on your blouse.
Well, it's just a nick on my ear. It looks much worse than it is.
Oh, Letty, you're so brave.
Oh. I say, could you bring the candles over here, please? I think we should take a look at our intruder.
What's happened to him?
He's covered in blood.
Fellow must have shot himself.
Is he badly hurt, Archie?
I think he's dead. I can't find any pulse. He must have tripped himself up in this cloak affair and shot himself. It's difficult to tell without any real light.
Patrick must have found the fuse.
Well, that's a bit better. If I can get this mask off...
He's quite young.
It was just one of the fuses that had gone. Good Lord.
Letty, do you see who it is? It's the young man from the Spa Hotel in Meddenham Wells. The one who came here and asked you to give him money to get back to Switzerland.
And I wouldn't give him any.
It must have been a pretext to spy out the house. Oh, he might have killed you.
Colonel, do you think you could get Dora a little brandy? There's a decanter on the sideboard in the dining room.
Yes, of course. Right away.
And Patrick, I think we'd better ring the police at once. And could you get me a plaster from the bathroom? It's so messy, bleeding like a stuck pig.
Can't tell you how glad I am they've put you on the case, Dermot. It seems a perfectly extraordinary affair, advertising a crime before you commit it. I want to hear all about it, if I'm not intruding, that is.
Intruding, Sir Henry?
It isn't every detective inspector who has a godfather who just happens to be an ex-commissioner of Scotland Yard. I shall be grateful for your advice.
Who was this fellow, anyhow?
His name was Rudy Schertz, Swiss national, employed at the Royal Spa Hotel in Medenham Wells as a receptionist.
And it was he who planted this advertisement?
Yes, as far as we know. The man who handed it in answers our description of him perfectly.
But surely the person who accepted it must have thought it a bit odd.
I would have said that the adenoid blonde I had a word with is quite incapable of any thought whatever. She just counted the words and took the money.
And what was the idea, do you think? To get all the locals together at a particular place at a particular time and relieve them of their spare cash and valuables? As an idea, it's not without originality.
Well, it's a possibility. I think there are indications that he might have been helping himself to quite large sums of money at the hotel, which he would have needed to cover before they found him out. Oh. But there are quite a few things that don't add up. Mm. One of the waitresses at the hotel, who he's quite friendly with, told me he was always talking big about how rich and important his people were in Switzerland, but he never seemed to have any cash.
And what about the story of his coming out to see Miss Blacklock to ask for money? Is there anything in that, do you think?
You'll have to wait until this evening to hear about that, Sir Henry. I've arranged to call at Little Paddock's this afternoon to take in the scene of the crime.
You should have seen it last night, Inspector. Two little tables knocked over, and the leg off one of them, and a burn on one of the best pieces of furniture. Yes. People are so careless about these things. Luckily, none of the china got broken.
Flora, just... dear, all these things, vexatious though they may be, are really of no consequence. I think it would be best if we let the inspector ask his questions.
Thank you, Miss Blacklock. Now, perhaps we ought to begin with the dead man. Can you tell me when you first saw Rudy Schertz?
My first encounter with him was about 3 weeks ago. Miss Buller and I had been having lunch at the Royal Spa Hotel, and just as we were leaving, this young man came straight up to me.
Miss Blacklock, is it not? He said.
He said that perhaps I did not remember him, that he was the son of the proprietor of the Hotel des Alpes at Montreux, where my sister Charlotte and I had stayed for nearly a year during the war.
And you didn't remember him, Miss Blacklock?
No, I didn't. I had no memory ever of having seen him before. I tried to be as civil as possible, and said I hoped he was enjoying himself in England, and he said that his father had sent him over for 6 months to learn the reception business. It all seemed perfectly natural.
And then?
About 10 days ago, he suddenly turned up here. He apologised for troubling me, but said I was the only person he knew in England and that he wanted money to return to Switzerland as his mother was dangerously ill.
But Nettie didn't give it to him.
It was all such nonsense. His father was a wealthy man and he could easily have wired him money. I was secretary for years to a very big financier, and one becomes very wary about appeals for money.
Yes, of course.
The only thing that did surprise me was that he gave in so easily and went away without any more argument. It was as though he had never expected to get the money.
Do you think that what he was really here for was to spy out the land?
That's exactly what I do think now. He found some excuse to look into the dining room, and when he was going, he sprang forward to open the front door.
"Please allow me, madame," he said.
I think he just wanted to look at the fastening. Actually, like most people around here, we never lock the front door until it gets dark.
And what about the side door? There is a side door, I understand.
Oh, yes. Yes, I went through it last night to shut up the ducks, not long before the people arrived.
Was it locked when you went out?
I can't remember. I certainly locked it when I came in.
So, he could have slipped in quietly while you were attending to the ducks, and since he'd already taken a good look round, he knew where he could hide himself. Yes, that seems quite clear.
I beg your pardon, but it's not clear at all. Why should anybody go to all that trouble? All there was in the house was a few pounds in my drawer and a few bits and pieces of jewellery.
It wasn't burglary at all. I told you that, Lottie. It was revenge, because you wouldn't give him that money. He shot at you twice, deliberately.
Now, let's get down to the events of last night. I'd like you to tell me exactly what happened, Miss Blacklock.
I remember saying to the vicar's wife that if anything were going to happen, it would have to be soon. And then it chimed the half hour, and the lights went out.
Was there a flash first, or a noise when that happened?
I don't think so.
I'm sure there was a flash, and a crackling noise.
And then, Miss Blacklock,
The door opened.
Which door?
Oh, the door here. The other one doesn't open.
Ah.
The door opened and there he was, a masked man with a revolver. He said something, I forget what.
Hands up or I shoot!
Yes, something like that.
And you all put your hands up?
No, no, I didn't. It all seemed so utterly silly.
And what happened then?
Well, the flashlight was right in my eyes. It dazzled me. And then quite suddenly I heard a bullet whiz past me and hit the wall by my head. I felt a burning pain in my ear.
It was terrifying.
And then the figure turned away and seemed to stumble. Then there was another shot and his torch went out, and then everybody began pushing and calling out.
Where were you standing, Miss Blackrock?
She was over by the table. She'd got a vase of violets in her hand.
I was standing just here. Actually, I think I was holding a cigarette box.
You had a very narrow escape, Miss Blacklock.
He shot at her quite deliberately. He turned the torch on everybody until he found her, and then he held it and just fired at her.
Yes.
He meant to kill you, Letty, and when he found he'd missed, he shot himself.
No.
I'm certain that's the way it was.
Tell me, Miss Blacklock, before the shots were fired, what were you expecting to happen? Did you think it was all some kind of joke?
You thought that Patrick had done it at first.
Patrick?
My young cousin Patrick Simmons. He calls me aunt, which is why everybody thinks he's my nephew, naturally enough. And I thought the advertisement might have been an attempt at humour on his part, but he denied it absolutely.
And you were worried, although you pretended not to be.
Is there anything more I can tell you, Inspector?
I think that will be all for the present. But I shall need a list from you of all the people in your household and all the visitors who were in the house at the time. I shall need to take statements from all of them in due course.
Oh, yes, of course, Inspector. I'll write it out for you now.
How kind of you to take the trouble to drop in, Dermot. Indulging an old man's curiosity.
I just thought I'd bring you up to date, Sir Henry.
I've received an offer of information from a most unlikely source. Huh? Came in the afternoon post. I think you'd better take a look at it.
I've seen this handwriting before. Like a runaway spider who's fallen into the ink bottle. Hope that I'm not trespassing on your valuable time, but I might possibly be of some slight assistance. Good Lord! Aunt Jane!
I wasn't aware that Miss Marple was your aunt, Dermot.
It's just my nickname for her, Sir Henry. She's saved me from making a fool of myself many a time.
It seems that instead of being safely tucked up in St. Mary Mead, she's at Bentham Wells and at the right time to be mixed up in a murder.
Yes.
Once more, a murder is announced for the benefit and enjoyment of Miss Marple.
And she's staying at the Royal Spa Hotel.
How did you know that?
She's written on hotel notepaper.
Oh.
It's the place where the dead man, Rudy Schertz, worked. I bet she's onto something.
I think a little trip to Bentham Wells is in order, Dermot.
Mm.
I believe they do an excellent lunch.
Of course, I could never afford to stay here myself, but Raymond, my nephew, Raymond West, you may remember him.
How could I possibly forget him?
Yes, well, apparently his latest book has been a tremendous success, and he insisted on giving me a little treat.
What exactly is it that you have to tell us, Aunt Jane?
Well, I think it might be better if we were to find somewhere a little less public.
I've taken care of that. The manager has given us a private room.
It was a check. He altered it.
You mean Rudy Schertz, the man who staged the hold-up?
Yes, I have it here. It came this morning with my others from the bank. There. You can see it was for £7, and he altered it to 17.
Yeah.
Really very neatly done. A certain amount of practice, I would say.
You're quite right, of course. Apparently he had a criminal record in Switzerland.
The difficulty is that it simply doesn't make sense.
How do you mean?
Well, surely. Here is a personable young man who filches a little bit here and a little bit there, alters a small check or takes a little bit from the till, just enough to give him the money to dress well and take a girl out, and then suddenly he goes off with a revolver and holds up a room full of people and shoots at someone. He would never have done a thing like that, not for one moment.
You think that someone may have put him up to it?
I know someone did.
But how can you be sure?
He was going out with a little red-haired waitress from the dining room.
Myrna Harris.
Oh, you've spoken to her, have you? And what did she tell you?
That he talked big,
How wealthy his people were in Switzerland, but he never seemed to have any money. Nothing much more than that.
I'm afraid you don't have my experience in getting people to talk, Dermot. This morning, she brought the breakfast up to my room, and there were kippers instead of herrings, and she forgot the milk jug. I could tell she was upset, and so I asked her whether it had anything to do with the young man who'd been involved in the hold-up.
And what did she tell you?
Apparently, on the night it happened, they had been planning to go to the pictures, but he told her he would have to cancel it. The poor girl was most upset, but he told her that he was going to make a lot of money and that he would buy her a wristwatch. And then he showed her the advertisement he'd put in the Gazette.
And did he explain to her what it was all about?
He said there was going to be a party somewhere, and she was not to tell anyone, but he was going to stage a hold-up.
Did he tell her who had put him up to it?
He didn't say anything except that it was all going to be a great joke. I shall laugh to see all their faces, he said.
Poor devil. He didn't have long to laugh.
Something tells me that this is a crime that went terribly wrong. We have to find out what was actually meant to happen. And who is behind it all?
This is a list of the people who were in Little Paddocks at the time of the shooting. I've made a copy for you.
How very thoughtful of you, Dermot.
As you can see, there were six people living in the house. Miss Blacklock herself and her companion, Dora Bunner.
How long has she been, her companion?
Only about 6 months, I think. They were old school friends and hadn't seen one another for years. Miss Bunner, it seems, had rather fallen on hard times and was finding it difficult to make ends meet, just on her old age pension, and her health had given way. She wrote to Miss Blacklock. It must have been a kind of cry for help. And Miss Blacklock simply swooped down and carried her off to Little Paddocks, telling her that she needed someone to help run the house. She's rather a muddle-headed, pathetic creature. Completely devoted to Miss Blacklock, as you might expect.
And Patrick and Julia Simmons are Miss Blacklock's nephew and niece, I take it.
Well, they're actually second cousins, even though they do call her Aunt Letty. They've been living there for a couple of months. As far as I can tell, they're more sort of paying guests than anything else. Patrick's studying for an engineering degree. At first, Miss Blacklock seemed to think that he'd dreamt the whole thing up as a kind of practical joke, but he strongly denies having anything to do with it at all and swears he never saw Rudy Shirts in his life.
Mm-hmm. And the other one, Julia?
She's training as a dispenser at Milchester General Hospital. Very composed she is, and seemed more annoyed than anything else when I talked to her.
It was all rather like a bad film. Really quite stupid. Just as the clock chimed 6:30, all the lights went out, and a masked figure came in and shouted, "Stick 'em up, guys," or something of that sort. And suddenly he fired 2 shots, and it wasn't quite so silly anymore.
The man had a torch, I understand.
Yes, he shone it straight at us. It was terribly dazzling.
Did he hold the torch steady, or did he move it about?
He moved it, like a spotlight in a dance hall. Mm. It was full in my eyes, and then it went slowly round the room. And suddenly there were 2 shots.
And then?
He whirled round and fell on the floor. And Mitzi began screeching like a banshee from the dining room. She was locked in, I think.
Do you think the man shot himself deliberately, or do you think he stumbled and the gun went off accidentally?
I haven't the faintest idea. The whole thing was so stagey. Actually, I thought it was still some stupid joke until somebody flicked on a lighter and I saw the blood streaming from Aunt Letty's ear. But even if you were going to fire a gun to make the hold-up look more real, you'd be careful to aim it away from somebody's head, wouldn't you?
Do you think he could see clearly who he was firing at? Was Miss Blacklock outlined in the light of his torch?
I have no idea. I wasn't looking at her, I was looking at the man.
What I'm getting at is, do you think he was deliberately aiming at her?
Well, I shouldn't have thought so. After all, if he just wanted to take a pot shot at Aunt Letty, there would be heaps of easier opportunities. Why get in all the friends and neighbours when he could just have shot at her from behind a hedge and probably got away with it?
One has to admit she has a point. If he wanted to commit a murder, it was an extraordinary way of going about it. Yeah. And who is Philippa Hames, another cousin?
Oh, no, no, she's no relation. She's a war widow from rather a good family, I believe. She's got a boy who's at prep school, and she's working as a gardener at Dares Hall. about a mile away from Little Paddock's. Miss Blacklock let her have a room. She's rather sorry for her, I think. She was working in the orchard at the hall when I went to talk to her.
I'd been working late, making the most of the light while it lasted. I got in about 5:30.
And you went in by which door?
The one at the side. It saved you going round. My boots were too muddy to come in at the front.
Was the door unlocked?
Yes. During the summer, it's usually wide open. This time of year, it's shut, but not locked. I locked it when I got in.
Do you always do that?
I've been doing it since it started to get dark at around 6. Miss Blacklock goes out to shut up the ducks last thing, but she usually goes out through the kitchen door.
And what did you do when you got in?
Kicked off my muddy boots and went up and had a bath. When I came down, I found a kind of party in progress. That was the first I'd heard about the stunt in the paper.
Did you get a look at the face of the dead man?
Yes, I did.
Was he known to you? Had you seen him before?
No, never.
You hadn't seen him when he came round to the house previously?
No. I believe he came in the middle of the morning. At that time, I'm always working here. Sorry, I can't be of more help.
And what about the girl, Mitzi? Does she have another name?
Not one that I'd like to try to pronounce. She's Middle European. A refugee. Came over here at the beginning of the war. She suffers from persecution mania, which is perfectly understandable, and is also a tremendous liar, or so I'm told.
Then I saw in the paper saying there was going to be a murder. I wanted to go away, but she would not let me. I knew what would happen. I knew I should be murdered.
But you weren't murdered, were you?
No, but I could have been. She should not have made me stay. She is a hard woman.
Why don't you just tell me what happened?
All that evening I hear things. People moving about. Once I think someone is in the hall, moving very quietly. But it is just that Mrs. Hames coming in through the side door. She is like a Nazi herself with her blonde hair and her blue eyes, and always looking at me as if I am dirt.
Let's leave Mrs. Hames out of this, shall we?
Who does she think she is? Does she have a degree in economics like I have? No, she is just a paid labourer. Who is she to call herself a lady?
I said leave her out of it. I want you to tell me what happened.
I take the sherry and the glasses and the cheese straws and little pastries I made so nice into the drawing room.
Yes.
Then the bell rings and I answer the door. Again and again I answer the door. It is degrading, but I do it. And then I go back into the kitchen and I polish the silver. And I make sure that I have a big carving knife with me if anyone comes to kill me.
Very foresighted of you.
And then suddenly, I hear shots. I run through the dining room, but the door, it will not open. I am shut in there like a rat in a trap. I scream and scream and I beat on the door. Then they turn the key and let me out. And the lights come on and I see the blood and the dead body lying there. I have seen so many dead bodies.
I couldn't get any more out of her. Nothing of any use, anyway. And as for all the visitors, you've got their statements there. Colonel Easterbrook lectured me for 30 minutes on the psychology of the criminal. Miss Hinchliffe, Manly is probably the best way to describe her, talked about her pigs most of the time. And Mrs. Harmon, that's the vicar's wife, had her eyes tied shut because she didn't like being dazzled.
Mrs. Harmon? Not Diana Harmon, by any chance?
Yes, I think that's her name. Her husband calls her Bunch.
Her mother is a very old friend of mine. Bunch is by way of being an honorary niece.
Anyway, all the witnesses seem to agree on the basic facts of the matter. They saw a masked man with a revolver and a torch come through the door, and he said something like, "Hold up your hands," and then they saw...
Oh, but surely, Dermot, surely they couldn't actually have seen anything at all. If I understand rightly, there wasn't any light in the hall or on the landing.
That's right.
And so if a man stood in the doorway and flashed a powerful torch in their faces, they wouldn't be able to see anything but the torch, would they?
Why didn't I think of that?
Well, when some of them say they saw a masked man waving a gun, they are merely recapitulating from what they saw afterwards when the light came on. So it all fits in with my assumption that Rudy Schertz was the fall guy.
Fall guy, Aunt Jane?
Well, I may have got the term wrong. I'm not very clear about Americanisms. I got it from one of Mr. Dashiell Hammett's stories. A fall guy, as I understand it, means someone who will be blamed for a crime rarely committed by somebody else. Poor Rudy's shirt seems to have been exactly the right type for that. Rather stupid and probably extremely credulous.
You mean somebody persuaded him to go in and take pot shots at a room full of people?
I think that he was told it was a joke. He was paid for doing it, of course. Paid to put the advertisement in the paper and check out the house, and then, on the night in question, to put on a cloak and mask, throw open the door and shout, "Stick 'em up," or whatever he's supposed to have said.
And fire off a revolver?
Oh, no. He never had a gun.
But everyone said... Oh, I see what you mean.
Exactly. No one could possibly have seen a revolver, even if he had one. And I don't think that he had. After he called out, "Stick 'em up," somebody came up quietly behind him and fired those two shots over his shoulder. It must have frightened him to death. He swung round, and as he did so, the other person shot him and then dropped the revolver beside him. What kind of a gun was it?
It was a German make.
Oh, that doesn't mean anything nowadays, surely. The country is full of all makes of guns brought back from the war.
Oh, that's true enough. But who is this mysterious Mr. X who came up in the darkness?
You'll have to talk to Miss Blacklock about that.
She said the whole idea was nonsense.
Yes, but that was about Rudy Schertz trying to kill her. Ask if there might not be someone else. Someone out of the past, perhaps?
There's also the possibility that there was someone inside the house working with Rudy Schertz, or pretending to him that they were.
More questions, Inspector?
A few, I'm afraid, Miss Blacklock, but first there's something I have to tell you. Rudy Schertz was not the son of the proprietor of the Hotel des Alpes at Montreux. He seems to have begun his career as a hospital orderly in Bern. He was suspected of taking items of jewellery from the patients, but nothing was proved. Then he took another job, under another name, as a waiter in one of the winter sports hotels, where his speciality seems to have been making out fake bills.
Oh, I see.
He then went on to a department store in Zurich, where there was a noticeable increase in items that went missing.
A picker-up of unconsidered trifles, in fact. Then I was right in thinking I'd never met him.
Oh, quite right. I expect he happened to overhear someone mention your name when you went to have lunch at the Royal Spa Hotel and pretended to recognise you.
Yes, but why come out here when there were much richer pickings at the hotel? And why go through all that pantomime about a murder being announced?
It was a warning to you, Letty. I thought that myself at the time. I knew it wasn't a joke. I was frightened, and Mitzi was frightened too.
Ah, Mitzi. I'd like to know rather more about that young woman.
Well, there's nothing even remotely suspicious about Mitzi. Her papers were properly in order.
So were those of Rudy Schertz. Has it occurred to you that they might have been working together? And that there may have been somebody behind both of them?
Oh, the whole idea is perfectly ridiculous. Why should anybody want to murder me? And as far as Mitzi is concerned, I think you've got an anti-foreigner complex.
I'd still like to have a word with her, if I may.
Well, I can hardly stop you, can I? But if she flounces out and locks herself in a room, I've a good mind to make you cook dinner. Oh, can't you go and suspect somebody else?